throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all these people upon me? Why do you lay the burden of all these people upon me? In a large church, you have to have people who you trust and believe, who you have trained to help you. It's very important to have building structures. That is, people who can do the same things that you are doing, to be able to even handle the church that grows. Because one person can only do so much. I said, one person can only do so much. And that is where we have to go out of the family setting. I remember I went to a church the other day to do a training there. And you see that as much as it is nice to see everybody in the family involved in the church and in the ministry, it's also quite interesting that it's like there's no outsider who is allowed to do anything. I don't think your family alone can handle what God wants to do in the church. Are you with me? So Moses said that he can't handle the burden of all these people. And he said, have I conceived all these people? Have I begotten them that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father heareth the sucking child unto the land which thou hast swearest unto their fathers? Whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. You see, contrary to Jesus Christ, who had 5,000 people to feed and was able to feed them because there was a boy who contributed to his ministry. There was a guy who contributed to his ministry. The guy had 2 fishes and 5 loaves of bread. But here Moses doesn't have anything and the people are asking for meat. He said, if thou deal thus with me, kill me, verse 15, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. And the Lord said unto Moses, this is what we're looking at. The Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with you. So God's way of solving the problem of Moses having to deal with so many things by himself, because the church was growing, the church had grown, and in a large church, the setting that will help you to continue to grow and increase is to have building blocks of leadership, people to trust and believe in people. I have believed in people in this country and in this church. So many people that sometimes you wonder if it was right to believe in people. I remember a gentleman who we opened our house to come and live with us. One day he just packed his bags and he ran away. He just disappeared. I was thinking that it's such a blessing to live with a pastor. It's a nice thing to live with a pastor. I think so. I think so. Yeah, if I was younger and I had the opportunity to live with a pastor, I would do so. I would do so. But you see, when Archbishop Benson Idahosa died, now many pastors have risen up who claim to have his anointing, including one who used to be his houseboy. When I say houseboy, is somebody who used to help him wash his clothes, help wash his shoes, this, carry his bag, house help. He was dedicated to the Archbishop in his house. And now that guy is a major man of God in Southern Africa. And he says that as he worked for the man, as he served him, he believes that the anointing on the archbishop has fallen on him like Elijah and Elisha. So to have the opportunity to live with a man of God, and then one day without announcement, take your bag and beat out. Then you ask yourself, was this person worth inviting to come and be with you in your house? So the Lord said unto Moses, I'm going to solve this problem that is trying to overpower you and break you down as your church has grown. He said, take people, trust people, believe people, and put them in places. He said here, he said, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel. You need people to help you if you want to get a mega church. It's not everywhere you can go. It's not every place you can be. It's not everything you can do. You can't handle everything by yourself. Your capacity will only end at a point. If you have 70 people, like how Moses had 70 people, you see that you can do far more. I can be in Batika. I can be in Letep. I can be in Babies. I need to trust somebody, believe in somebody, and release them to do something there. I know a man of God who has a few churches around, a couple of churches, I should say. And for all the years I've known him since I came to Ghana 18 years ago, I've known him doing the church. Just like when I started a church in Linden, and I did it for 6 months and handed over, he has been handling about two churches for years. He's a big guy. He's a big guy. Big guy, the churches. In fact, the second church was actually the first one he had. He has a huge building. Huge building. Both in Georgetown and somewhere else. Huge. But for all these 18 years, I've not seen him believe and trust anybody to do anything. You imagine, when you are sick, what's going to happen? When you are not feeling well now, what's going to happen? Then you see that the way you built the church was not a good way. So God says, select unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you, I like this verse here, this, because God believes in the choice of his servant Moses. God is not saying, Moses, call that one. God is saying, you select the people. It means that if a man of God, or you are in a church and you have been asked to assist or play a certain leadership role, you must be very grateful to your pastor for selecting you. Oh, yes. So number one here, Moses was given the task to select. Number two, to bring them onto the tabernacle of the congregation. You see, the same thing that I was saying early in the morning, that your control will take you. You go to places with people. He had to appear before God with 70 people that he chose. That's why when you rebel against your leader, you will not do well, because he's the one who gave you the opportunity. Should I say it again? You should understand where your power comes from. He's the one who gave you the opportunity to sing. He's the one who changed your name, gave you a name. Now we call you honey. Your mother didn't give you honey. You are no honey in a bottle. But we call you honey. Because it is a Moses who chose and brought you. God said that is what you need to do if you are going to have to handle a large group of people. 70, bring them to me. I'll do something. Verse 17, he says that, and I'll come down. You see, Moses could make God come down from heaven. Yeah. Moses could make God come down.
God loved Moses. He believed in him. He was so close to him that when Moses has a problem, God comes down. May God come down to solve problems for you. He said, I'll come down and talk with thee there. And he says, I will take of the spirit which is upon you and will put it upon them. The question also here is that why the God of all gods, why couldn't he give the people, the 70 people, a spirit? Is he short of spirits that he will rather take what is on Moses and put it on the 70 people? Why didn't he give these 70 people his own power, his own anointing? Like many people are deceived to think that I'm praying to God for anointing. God is not choosing to give you any anointing for nothing. When there's already somebody's anointing that you need to carry, you need to catch. That's what happens in the spiritual realm. We catch anointings. We covet anointings. We don't go to God for anointing. There are things we go to God for, but not anointing. Anointing is moving like money. And your desire, your passion, and your seriousness towards anointing is what will cause it to drop on you. Say, bring them. I will take that which is upon you and I will put it upon them. Then they can bear the burden of the people with you. Leading people is a burden. Oh yes. People can break your heart. If I tell you my broken heart stories in ministry, by believing in people and by using people, you feel sorry for me. You feel sorry. Believed in people, trusted people. I remember before I sent Jamal to Suriname, I have one of my pastors. I believed in him and I took him to Suriname. I was sharing my story. When I came, I was living in Virginia. I didn't know anybody, zinc sheet in the forest and all of that. I took him to Paramaribo. We slept in a hotel in Paramaribo North. And you know North. If you know Paramaribo, you know North. North is where the nice people live. Oh, Papi. Yeah. Bushwasi. I took him there. Booked a hotel. One room for me, one room for him. Some boy here in the church who we appointed as a pastor. Woke up in the morning. I said, let's go around and look for. He was going to start a church there. I said, let's go and look around for an apartment. So I knew a pastor of a church. So I went to see him. I said, man of God, I'm looking for an apartment for this my boy here. He's coming to start a mission here. He said, oh, really? Okay. He has a church member who runs an apartment complex. Let him call her and see if she has anything available. Oh, lo and behold. When he called her, she said she has one apartment. Fully furnished. Up to teaspoon, cup, everything was there. TV, air conditioned. Stove, gas bottle, everything. All he had to do was just take a bag and move into the place and buy groceries and just start living. So we went to check it out and it was good. Fabi, it's in Flora. You know Flora? You know Flora? Which of our Flora is? Yeah? So you good? All right. Okay. So we slept there, paid for the apartment, I think a couple of months, and then the morning we bathed in the same bathroom. By the way, I drove him 7 hours to Paramaribo in my car. I drove with him 7 hours to Paramaribo. So the second morning I said, son, let's go to the supermarket, let me fill your fridge. And then I'll say adios. So we did that the morning, early in the morning, 3 a.m. I said adios. And then I drove back. 4 years later, oh Lord, as I'm speaking, he's no more in the church. Yeah, say all kinds of things about me. The mistake or the only mistake is believing and trusting him and giving him a place.
But that is how it works. People are a burden. Let me tell you, you can do a lot of things for people, church members, and they will not look back at you. Yes.
I remember one of the guys we sent to Bible school. He couldn't complete the course, so I was asked to airlift him back to his country. So we paid for his ticket to come back. He took a flight from Accra to Addis Ababa, Schiphol Airport, Frankfurt Airport. And he was coming with Condor Airlines to Tobago, and then Tobago to Guyana. When he got on board the plane in Frankfurt, he started preaching in the plane. And the people said, "No, you can't do that." He said, "No, God has called him to preach in the plane." The plane took off without him in the plane. He said, "The Spirit of God has entered you. He must preach to the world." And the people said, "You cannot preach in this plane. You can't do that." He said, "No, I have to preach." They organized him out of the plane. He's a madman. Kept him at the airport. The next time I heard of him, they had sent him back to Ghana. Ticket gone to waste. When he went back to the school. The people said, "Oh, but you have finished school. What are you doing here? You can't be here. Now we have to find accommodation for him outside the school." When he was coming back, I had to buy an extra ticket for somebody who has muscles. No, it wasn't Pastor Calvin.
To bring him from Accra, almost like handcuffed to him, I told the guy, "You can't sleep in the plane. When you sit in the plane, if the guy is sleeping, you can't sleep. Because if you make a mistake and this guy preaches again, both of you, it won't be easy for the two of you." When it comes to Guyana, he can preach anywhere he wants to preach. Don't preach in the plane. He's air marshal, yeah. And so my guy brought him safe to Guyana. Safe, no preaching. I said, "If you allow him to preach, you will not be saved when he preaches. You will not. You can't preach in the plane." So we had to buy a ticket for my guy, the preacher, the international preacher, to come home, and then a return ticket for the air marshal, the bodyguard, to come and return to Ghana. When this international preacher came, he left the church. He's not even preaching anymore. I wish I would see him at Starbucks preaching and preaching the gospel and like he was trying to do in a plane in Frankfurt, Germany. You need people to help you if you're going to have a large church, because the problems are a lot. You can grow gray hair. You see, when Obama was president, when he started, he didn't have gray hair. By the time he was leaving office, he had a lot of gray hair. Ministries like that, there's a lot of stress. A lot of stress. This thing is that. Is this. Somebody come and tell you, "This person said this." It's like Noah in the ark. Yeah, the Tom will come and say, "Jerry is watching me. The way Jerry is watching me, Pastor Noah, I can't handle it. Can you please call him and talk to him?" And Noah, "I can't sleep. Jerry's watching. Tom is watching me. Can you please talk to him?" Then Noah will call Tom and say, "Tom, you have to be a Christian. The Bible says, love thy neighbor as yourself. You can't be watching Jerry so close like that in this ark." Then Tom will say, "Yes, Pastor, thank you for your advice. I will do my best." The next morning, you see somebody will come and say, the mosquito, Pastor Noah, the mosquito. I couldn't sleep last night. Singing in my ears. If you are going to sing praise and worship, please, can you go to the other side and sing? Why are you singing in my ears? And Noah called the mosquito and said, mosquito, don't sing in the night. It's noise nuisance. EPA will come and collect you. Now, that's what happened to Moses. If you are going to have to deal with all these issues, you it's too much. But if you can incorporate people into your system like God advised Moses, then you can hand over some problems too. This is a problem here. I mean, we have one of our sisters in London had a medical problem the other day. Our pastor, the late Pastor Ava, was there. So I didn't have to drive all the way to London to attend to the person. LP Ava was there. Went to look at the person in the hospital, pray for her, even went to do communion. I tell you, this is communion. It saved me from driving to London and going to pray and going to share a word of encouragement and all of that and come back. It's gas, it's energy, it's time, and I have an able person there who can do it. We have to learn to share the burden. Share the burden. A pastor invited us to a program in the quarantine. Reverend Isan is right after the river. I said, Revy, go and represent us. I can't drive to the quarantine. Because if I have to go to the quarantine, come here, go here. Charlie. You'll finish before your time. And so the key to a mega church, the key to church growth is involving lay people. Just teach them what to do, train them, give them some responsibilities. Let them hold your hand like Moses' hands were held. It will help your ministry to push forward. Hallelujah. God bless you. Put your hands together for the Lord.